Welcome back to another episode of Mike and Beans on this Friday here. Another phenomenal slate of Friday hoops in the college basketball world. Friday slate better than the Saturday slate. A lot of ranked matchups tonight. And the headliner, obviously, Alabama versus Purdue in Mackey Arena. Purdue has won 38 straight regular season non-conference games, the fifth longest streak in NCAA history. They've also won 20 straight home games at Mackey Arena. That's the fourth longest active streak. But they get the Alabama Crimson Tide, the number two ranked team in the country, at home tonight. Should be a great one, Mike. What are you most looking forward to about this game?
Yeah, actually, I was on a show yesterday with a couple of my ECB guys, and one of the guys in the chat gave out a stat on this one. Do you know when the last time a team as highly ranked as Alabama came to Mackey Arena in the non-conference?
1967.
It's something like that with John Wooden. Yeah. It's like somewhere around that range. I don't remember the exact year. You said it confidently, so I'm just going to take your word for it. 1967, precisely. That's a long time ago. I think this game's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to how Purdue tries to play without Daniel Jacobson. Like, he's out for the season. They were very clearly relying on him quite a bit to be that, like, easy presence inside to just throw it to and get a bucket. That safety valve, to speak. That was the word I was looking for yesterday that I couldn't think of now. That's the spot I'm looking at. And how TKR, I'm hoping they run him at the five. I think it'd be very interesting because he can kind of space the floor a little bit and has some low post skill. Very versatile, big, kind of undersized. But, like, I'm looking forward to seeing how they try to use him at the five a little more, because I'm assuming that's what they do, rather than trying to use Will Berg and some of their more raw fives to play, like, huge minutes. Those guys will obviously play a little bit, but I don't think they're going to play 20 minutes or anything like that. But I'm interested in that and seeing how Purdue tries to generate shots against Alabama, especially without that Jacobson safety valve. That, I don't know, I feel like Braden Smith's going to get his, but, like, if you can kind of contain Fletcher Lawyer, if you can just stay in front of Daniel Jacobson, TKR with Cliff Amarui, that I think this game could be really interesting. I do lean Alabama in this spot because of the injury, because I just think Alabama's kind of better. And I think Alabama's more experienced enough to know what it takes to go into a hostile road environment. I'm going to take Bama in this spot.
It's not usually you find Purdue as an underdog in Mackey Arena, but this is the case tonight. I think they're 2.5-point underdogs at home, but it's nice because we probably have one of the best point guard matchups of the season between Braden Smith and Mark Sears. You know, Braden Smith's one of, or if not, him and Cam Jones probably the best point guard in the country. Coming off of 22 points, 9 boards, 6 assists, 5 steals. I mean, you hear that stat line and you're like, holy crap. I mean, obviously it was Yale that he recorded that against, but still, that he does everything. Braden Smith does everything. He's averaging 15 points, 9.3 assists, close to averaging a double-double. And then he's also grabbing 6.3 rebounds. That's more than a lot of forwards and centers in college basketball. And this is from a point guard. Obviously, I don't think he's going to guard Mark Sears, but, it's just a really, really fun point guard matchup tonight. And Mark Sears, I think he's averaging around 18 points a game. One thing that surprised me, actually, was that he has not shot more than 5 threes in a game this year. And for Alabama, who led the country in 3-point attempts.
Yeah.
Sears probably shoots the ball, from beyond the arc a little more tonight. But again, really, really fun matchup. And I'm really excited to see how kind of Purdue handles the rebounds. If they're going to put Trey Kaufman Wren, down at the five, because they did do that against Yale. But they have not, since their opening games against Texas Corpus Christi, they have not won a rebound battle. They did not out-rebound Yale, and they did not out-rebound Northern Kentucky. I think that's going to play a huge role here, especially with how, physical Alabama is and how many threes Alabama will shoot. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for Bama to get those offensive boards. And if Purdue continues to go small, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think Bama's going to be enough on the glass, and I think Bama's just going to kind of be able to control the pace. I think you're going to need Smith to slow it down a little bit if you are Purdue. I think Bama's going to play their run-and-gun style. And to Bama's credit, they play a lot of these road games. Like, they did this last year. Like, they went to Creighton in, like, mid-December, early December around that time. So, like, they are very willing to play these road games. They think it makes them better in the long run.
This is a, like, really big game for Purdue.
Yeah.
Just because of their upcoming schedule. They play Marquette on Tuesday. They have to go to Marquette on Tuesday. So that's a big Big Ten, Big East matchup. Something that we could definitely talk about next week. But you don't want a stretch with two losses obviously for any team. Luckily, it's early, but you know, we could see Purdue drop to the 20s with two straight losses. And coming into this season, you know, you probably didn't expect that. But that's what happens when you schedule these big and fun games.
Yeah, when you're playing awesome teams. And I do remember the other point I was going to make. Alabama in their three games this year, two of their games have been against excellent mid-major programs. Arkansas State's the heavy favorite to win the Sun Belt. McNeese State is the heavy favorite to win the Southland. Those are two teams that are going to be 12, 13 seeds that we are going to be talking about in March to pick. That those two teams are really, really solid. That I'm not surprised they were able to put Alabama and just keep those games competitive, keep them a little mucky, especially just with like it being so early in the season and those teams like are kind of a little more connected. That it makes sense to me. It's so much more like out talenting at this point rather than like game flow schematics, that sort of stuff. That stuff kind of ties in a little bit more as we get more into the season, more practice time, more times to practice some of that stuff, experience it in games. Obviously, but I don't know. I just like the spot for Alabama. I think they're going to find a rhythm, and I don't think Purdue has been tested in the way Alabama has been or this early in the season. Back to the main point, which I think plays a factor in this game. Roll Tide.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, we could be saying by the time next week, depending on what happens, if Alabama does win, the two best teams in college basketball could be coming from Alabama. You know, with Alabama and Auburn. Obviously, Kansas is number one right now, and definitely has you know a title for the best team in the country, but. Something to think about. Something to think about, you know, with what happens. Auburn obviously got that great win against Houston. They've been rolling since. And who knows? Maybe the two best teams in college basketball will reign both in Auburn, Alabama, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You don't think of that much. Just saying.
I don't know if I really want that. That's too much. Too much good sport in Alabama.
too much SEC probably as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on, we talked about Marquette a little bit with Marquette and Purdue matching up next week on Tuesday, but Marquette has a big game tonight as well. They travel to College Park to face Kevin Willard's Maryland squad. College Park, Maryland, one of the hardest places to play. They have a great fan base. It's going to be loud there. Both teams are 3-0, and Maryland has won each of its first three games by 30-plus points, you know, obviously, given it's been Florida A&M, Mount St. Mary's, and Manhattan, so not the most difficult opponents, but Marquette coming in as slight underdogs tonight in College Park. Mike, what are you most looking forward to with this early season hostile environment? Great matchup we got.
Yeah, I want to see how Maryland tries to guard Cam Jones. I think that's number one. Jacoby Gillespie, very good defender from Belmont. Selton Miguel was on that USF team. He can play defense. And DHS, if they want to go bigger on him, I just think those three will be able to just try to annoy Cam Jones. I want to see how they try to do it and try to take Marquette out of their continuity action. That's one. Another spot is, I don't know if you saw this, but they asked Derek Queen, like, what do you think of Ben Golden having to guard him on the
perimeter? I was going
to
bring that up.
Yeah. And he's just like, he ain't do nothing. He just sit there and want to shoot. and I'm not going to lie. I think Derek Queen's going to bully him. I think he's kind of right. Like, Queen is awesome, dude. He's so good. Like, he had 22-20 in his first college game and then just really hasn't had to do much in their next two. But he's proven he's going to bang inside. I think he moves Ben Golden around pretty easily, frankly. And then I also think he has enough skill to like step out to the perimeter, put the ball on the floor and get a bucket too. I think he's going to kind of cook Ben Gold. I think this is a really bad matchup for Ben Gold. So because of that, I lean Marquette, but I am interested to see how Queen looks to defend on the perimeter when they're running Ben Gold in a lot of pick and pops. He's not shooting it well this year. I believe he's sub 20% from three.
I was going to say is Derek Queen really wrong? Like, Ben Gold is shooting 19% from three, and he's averaging 7 3-point attempts per game.
Yeah, he's not, is the thing. I think this matchup spot is really good for Maryland, especially because they're at home. I think they have enough defensive pieces to kind of contain Marquette, and I think we're going to get a really good game out of Derek Queen. I think he's going to look like the one-and-done prospect that he is. I got Marquette in the spot. I got Maryland in the spot.
Well, Derek Queen is one of the most highly ranked recruits Kevin Willard was able to get at Maryland program in like a couple years. He's big, physical. He can bully you. And like you said, you know, Maryland does have the defensive advantage here. I do still think Marquette has a good chance of winning just because of the potential of what Cam Jones can do to a team. I was, you know, looking at Cam Jones' stats.
He's awesome.
He's 22.7 points per game and 6.3 assists per game, so he can share the ball as well. We were talking about earlier between Cam Jones and Brayden Smith, two best point guards in the country, you know, along with Mark Sears as well. But Cam Jones is shooting 69.2% from the field and 52.9% from three. He doesn't miss much. Seems like he does not miss much. And if Maryland cannot contain Cam Jones tonight, I think it might be a long night. It's gonna, yeah. And that's gonna, you know, also determine, hey, how much can Joplin chip in as well. But Cam Jones is obviously going to be the main guy Maryland has to focus on, and we're gonna see if the Terps and Kevin Willard can, you know, scheme up something to stop him. But not many teams have been able to do that. Even last year, Cam Jones had success with Tyler Kolek, you know, running the point guard show. But since Kolek got drafted, you know, it's been the Cam Jones show, and he's only blossomed since. He's a fun player. He's an awesome player to watch. And it's going to be a tough test for Maryland and College Park tonight.
Yeah, going to be a very tough test. But I don't know. I feel like the Terps are up to it. I liked this Maryland team coming into the season more than I probably should. But I think they can actually somewhat shoot this year, which they could not last year, which I think helps them a little bit. However, that has not been proven against any team with a pulse yet. So hopefully they can actually shoot it.
And Mark, one thing I want to add is that Marquette's coming off of only an 8-point victory over Central Michigan. They went 10 for 36 from three in that game, so struggled in that game. Don't think they continue that tonight. I think, you know, they realize, all right, they had an off game, and I think that's bad news for Maryland because, I don't know, you really are going to get two off nights from Shaka Smart teams. So it's going to be a fun one in College Park. I think it's an 8 p.m. tip. It's going to be loud. That place always bring the noise. Always brings energy. It's going to be a good test for the Shaka Smart 15th-ranked Marquette team.
Agreed. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. And there are a couple other games to look out for tonight. Texas A&M faces Ohio State. It's a matchup between, I think, two teams in the 20 or above rankings, both in the top 25. That should be a good one. But number 9, Arizona, travels to Wisconsin tonight. And I don't know if you knew this, Mike, but Wisconsin is honoring the 2014 and 2015 Final Four teams tonight. You know, how do you think that's going to sit with Arizona, considering that to get to the Final Four, I think in one or both of those years that Wisconsin beat Arizona in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four? That's just interesting. They're also honoring longtime Wisconsin coach Bo Ryan. He's getting a banner retired in his name. But coming into this game, I think you just look at Arizona and they're the better team on paper.
Yeah, all those olds are going to be like, oh, you Wisconsin, you mighty Badges. Yeah, that's definitely going to get the olds, but I don't think it's going to affect the players or the staff almost whatsoever. Like, completely new staff since then. Like, I don't think Tommy Lloyd, I don't know how tied he is to that time, because I know he was at Gonzaga for quite a while. Yeah. And then the players, same thing. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a tough test for the Badgers. I wanted to see more of a John Blackwell breakout this year for them. I think he's been good this year. I want to see him take that next step. You've gotten good performances out of John Tanji, the Colorado State transfer. I think he was at Missouri last year, but I remember him at Colorado State mainly. He's been good, but this Badgers team is experienced, and they're going to have to muck this game up. Arizona wants to play fast. Wisconsin wants to slow it down big time. I think Wisconsin's going to have to do that if they want to keep this one close. If Arizona's able to get up and run, I think they'll punish them. I think it's going to be a very fun game. I think it's interesting just to see, and the Kohl Center is not an easy place to play. I think this game, the crowd will be loud, and I'm kind of interested to see how this one goes. I definitely lean towards Arizona. This is not a very confident pick. I just think they have the horses to win this one. I think you get a good game out of Caleb Love. I think Trey Townsend's been pretty solid this year. I think they have enough pieces at Arizona to just kind of run their system, kind of play annoying ball. And Tobe Awaka has been really good for them. He was their leading scorer last game. If he's doing that again, if you're getting that much out of Tobe Awaka, this Arizona team's going to be a problem. I don't think Arizona's a strong national title type contender, but I think they have enough to go into the Kohl Center and beat Wisconsin.
One, Tobe Awaka's averaging a double-double, 11 points, 12 rebounds.
So good.
Two, one thing about this Arizona team is this is only their third game. We're about, almost 2 full weeks into the season, and Arizona has only played 2 games. But in those 2 games, they're averaging 51 rebounds per game, and they've outscored teams 106-36 in the paint. Damn. I don't know. I don't see this Wisconsin team to be very impressive. Obviously, Tanji's been great, 17.7 points per game. You know, Max Klesman can give you some 3-point shots beyond the arc. But, you know, I'm going with Caleb Love, Jane Bradley, and Toby Waka.
Yep.
Like, I just think Arizona, like I said, they're better on paper, but they might be a little more – they're more physical. They're aggravating on defense. You know, I just don't think this was – you know, this Wisconsin team is mostly new as well. You know, losing A.J. Storr, losing Tyler Wallen, losing Chucky Hepburn, you know, that's big. Greg Gard using the transfer portal to replace guys, but I don't know. I don't see a guy that stands out. And we're only three games in, obviously, but
yeah.
On this Wisconsin team, I don't see a star. I don't see a Caleb Love. You know, and I think that's going to be the main difference in this game.
I think they'll be able to keep it competitive. It's hard to go on the road and blow a team out. Like, I could see it happening, but I feel like this game will be competitive. I feel like it's even enough, especially so early in the season. And this Arizona team is pretty new. Like, Caleb Love returns, Jaden Bradley returns, KJ Lewis returns, but kind of everyone else who's playing a real role is pretty new. So I don't know. I think this one's going to be pretty interesting.
Before we go, just want to touch Virginia and Villanova. Play tonight. And Mike and I were talking just before we started to record this episode is that look back 5 years ago and look at the, you know, the status of where the Virginia and Villanova program was. Fast forward to the present day and look where they are now. Virginia head coach Tony Bennett retiring a week and a half before the season starts, and Villanova obviously off to a 0-2 start. Am I correct there?
No, Villanova, they're 2-2. They've played a lot of games.
Villanova's played four games already?
Yeah, they scheduled three really early because they expected Dixon to be suspended three games after going to Portsmouth. He was only suspended one. He came back for the Columbia game, which they lost. Then they opened up a can of whoop-ass on NJIT, and then they lost to St. Joe's.
Okay. Well, two losses to St. Joe's and Columbia, and then, you know, the questions arising of Kyle Neptune should still be the coach, you know, where that program is now, and you could compare it to what it was, you know, 5 years ago, and same thing with Virginia. You know, it's interesting to see. It's interesting how fast the college basketball landscape has changed. And, you know, two of the blue blood programs, two of the most successful programs, you know, in college basketball history, to see where they are now, it's a wake-up call, I think, and it's like, wow, times have changed. If you do not understand NIL and where college basketball is going, you better get up to speed, because you would not expect at all to be saying that Villanova and Virginia are one of the two poor programs in the country right now.
Yeah, this is the coach retired because they hate NIL Bowl, pretty much. I feel like that's almost kind of obvious in this spot. There were two very old school coaches in the sense of like how they wanted to run their program and like their style of play that like it doesn't translate the best to like transfer portal NIL type stuff. But yeah, it's just really weird to see these two teams. Like, this game is gonna suck. Like, this game might not hit 100 combined points. These teams play slow. Their offenses are like, they're not very good. They're both underperforming this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Ron Sanchez took over, like, with what, 2 weeks before the season started? Like, just a crazy situation. You lost Jalen Worley, who you were expecting to play a decent role. And Villanova just lost Matthew Hodge for the season because he couldn't get eligible. He was going to be a freshman that they were expecting to play at least a little bit, like, skilled freshman. So, yeah, it's such a weird game. So weird program spots that, like, I don't think either of them – I mean, they could probably both make the NIT if they want to. Yeah, this is such a weird, weird game, weird spot. And whoever loses, if this was like a WWE match, this would be like a loser leaves town match. Like, if you lose, you're just like that your career's over. But like, it's not. It's basketball, and they're going to play like 28 more games. But like, I don't know. I feel like the loser of this game might just be dead this season.
Well, like I said, you would not expect, you know, to be hearing that 5 years ago. But anyway, that'll do it for another episode of Mike and Beans. We'll be back on Monday to recap the weekend and look ahead to some solid games at the early part of next week. But in the meantime, hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Stay classy.